Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Well, beloved, I greet you in Jesus' name, and with the Lord's help, we're going to continue on in a message, The Unwilling Prophet. We've been looking at the book of the prophet Jonah. And let's just glance a bit at chapter 3. It's a short book, only four chapters. And after he was chastened, Jonah, by being in the belly of a great fish 3 days and three nights, he did obey. He went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And in verse 4 of chapter 3, it says, Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. And the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne. He laid his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, listen to this, talk about an absolute fast, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away his fierce anger that we perish not? And listen to verse 10. And God saw their works. That was absolute support and obedience throughout the whole realm. And he turned from let me read that again. God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. So basically, we see in that's the background, the what goes before that very first verse in chapter 4, we see Jonah's reaction. Verse 1 says, it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. He probably didn't expect to see, because they were the wickedest city on the face of the earth at that time, he didn't expect to see Nineveh in sackcloth and ashes. And sometimes when we are being used of God or trying to walk in obedience, sometimes we get our motives, our understanding mixed with the purposes of God. Thousands of well-meaning Christians can be shipwrecked because they set a course based on their own opinions and will, and then they think that God is honor-bound to bless their plans. And look at Jonah. He had been crying 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. Now that God was going to spare the city, what would they think of him as a prophet? And when we think about his response, and he was demonstrating his carnality, of course, and as we do, we're not much used to the Lord's service until we're willing to become fools for Christ. It's our job to obey and trust. What should have his response been? He should have been thrilled that there was a turning from wickedness, that there was repentance, that there was seeking God. But of course, because of his own personal animosity, as was the case with the Jews, they were bitter enemies with those who lived in Nineveh because they were a very wicked and oppressive society. That was his response. It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And then in verse 2, he prays. And of course, if his heart is filled with anger towards the Lord, how could he pray? Not really. If we open our hearts to God, he will make the crooked straight. Let's see what he prayed. He said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. So there's actually a revelation in Jonah's prayer. There's self-honesty. There's a true admission of where his heart was at. He said, I fled. Why? Because he didn't want them to repent. He knew the nature of God, that he was a gracious God. And he's saying, even though I prophesied its destruction, because you're merciful, you'd forgive them. And then my preaching would be in vain. My status as a prophet would be questionable. I'd be mocked for my trouble. And in fact, in verse 3, he says, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. So that was his prayer. But what was his testimony? We see in that a beautiful description of God's character. Our God is slow to anger, and he's quick to forgive. Some today despise the great kindness of God and are weary with his patience. And it's because, you know, some people are just burn them all up, you know, do what you did in Sodom and Gomorrah. But it's because he is slow to anger that many have not received the just rewards of their deeds. However, when he does strike, it will be the blow of the Almighty. Think about your own life, beloved. Think about the times that perhaps you've backslid, you weren't walking right before the Lord, and you knew in your heart you were disobeying, you were being rebellious, and yet you didn't repent immediately, you just carried on. And finally, perhaps through circumstances, perhaps through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you finally repented and you turned back to God. And so thank God that he is slow to anger. And this book is a beautiful description of God's character. And of course, Jonah, being in the place he wasn't happy with that. And then he makes a foolish request. Again, that's a manifestation of self. He said, it would be better for me to die. And so he had faith, of course, that he had a good hope for the world to come, but it was mingled with self-pity. So what does God do? Well, he's a very good parent. He begins to deal with him. In verse 4, then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? And it said, so Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. That's verse 5. There's a watchfulness. There are times, this is an example that we need to just sit down like Jonah, after we have obeyed him, and just wait upon the Lord to see what he will do. He's worth waiting for. You know, Brother Glass always had a statement. He said, when in doubt, don't. And so until you have that sweet but firm conviction of the Holy Spirit, it's best to wait on God. And let's now continue to read verse 6. So here he was sitting, watching to see what would happen. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Obviously, this would have to happen, unless he was sitting for, it doesn't say how long he was sitting there just watching, but apparently it was a supernatural growth where this gourd sort of sheltered him and gave him comfort. And we may not fully understand why he was so glad. Well, in later verses, we see it got to be, it was quite hot. So he was very grateful for that gourd. He'd been depressed, he'd been mourning, but God provided a gourd. The NAS says it was a plant, and it could have been probably the castor oil plant, who has very large leaves, and that would have provided welcome relief from the sun's heat. And of course, its swift growth was an act of God. I mean, they may grow quickly, but not as God provided that gourd for him. And it was given for a twofold purpose. It was given for his physical comfort. It was a shadow over his head. And then also spiritually, it would deliver him from his grief, that he wanted to sense the comfort of the Lord. He was confused, obviously. He finally obeyed God. He didn't want to do that in the first place. That's what he told God, because I know the way you are. And then instead of rejoicing that the Ninevites repented, he was upset. He saw them still as enemies. He was worried about his prophetic reputation. And then let's continue to read on. Verse 7, but God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. So what do we see here? A very short-lived pleasure. Every visible thing we see around us in this life, in this world, it's constantly changing, and it's stamped with uncertainty and with a temporary nature. Although we look at the natural world around us, it is governed by God's dictates. It's in constant change. Kingdoms are constantly changing. All earthly things change. Well, beloved, my time has flown, and we will continue on in our next broadcast. I thank you for joining me, and I do invite you, if you have prayer needs, there's a spiritual principle in agreeing prayer. Jesus said, if two or three of you would agree as touching anything, the Father would hear and it would be done. And so I ask you to write and know that I alone read your letters and I alone answer the mail. I thank you for joining me. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you and pray for you every day. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.